You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
When Brenda told me this, she said, I really want an inside work from God of rejuvenation for their beautification. I went and got something for you ladies that I think that you will enjoy. You'll need pencils and pens, or if you have one, or you can take it home, or you can just listen. But if you want to participate, you can. We're going to do, any of you ever have had a pest in your house? Ants, roaches, flies, mosquitoes, you know, bats, any of those kinds of things. Anybody? Everybody? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when Pastor Jerry comes home from overseas, I want him to take his stuff out on the lawn and empty it out because he's been in so many airports and so many places, and a couple times he's bought some real strange-looking creatures home in his clothes. So from Haiti, I remember he did one time, especially. But anyways, what does John 10:10 say? The thief cometh to... But I have come and give it to you abundantly. That means without measure, right? My mic sounds hot to me. Am I too loud for anybody? All right. Well, what I've decided to do is put us through a little spring cleaning. Anybody spring clean? You know, get those, well, especially in Michigan. We've been in dormancy, so you have to bring everything out. Like I live at the lake, you bring out the docks and your windows are all crazy from the snow. And so we do a lot of spring cleaning and preparation up there. And so what I brought to you is from one of our enterprise companies, Kingdom Enterprise Pest Control. I actually got this from Aardvark, pest control up by us. And I said, well, you know, I want to see what do you do for an inspection? And so they gave me their form. And so I've just made it over into a Holy Ghost inspection. So that we can do a Holy Ghost inspection for spring cleaning on ourselves. So Kingdom Enterprise Pest Control. Our address is the throne of God, located in heaven. If you need us, dial 177-PRAYER. Life and Faith Destroying Pest Report. Date of inspection, I guess it's May 3rd, right? Yeah. May 3rd, 08. Property address, the believer, the temple of God. Areas we're going to allow this inspection to go through today, spirit, soul, and body. So I'll go through this with you, and you can fill in some blanks of your own as I go through and see if we can't do a little inspection for our beautification and do some spring cleaning to find out if there's any interfering situations that might be in the temple. Please be informed that a qualified inspector of this company has carefully inspected all accessible areas of property at the above address with the following findings. Number one, evidence of infestation, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. You can check those out for yourself if you want. And the inspectors are going to be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll be sending out ministering angels. The Holy Spirit, you know, you say, search me and try me and see, like David did, if there's any wicked way in me. So we're going to let him have access to some areas, right? It says in my notes, bitterness took up the grudge of generations. Took up the grudge of generations. Did you ever hear anybody do that before? You know, I've come from a huge family. My mom's with 7 kids in her family. My dad had 10, so there was a lot of aunts, uncles, cousins, and et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes they would not go to certain parties or certain events because after 3 generations ago, Uncle so-and-so didn't give us our wood when we cut down that tree together. So sometimes you take up, and you don't even know it, take up grudges of generations under anger. Pieces of the mind missing, given away a piece at a time. See, he's going to check you out, spirit, soul, and body. Ooh, that mind. Gosh, you didn't used to think that way. It's like getting your teeth checked, right? I heard one of the kids had no cavities. Who was that? Oh, he was so proud. Unforgiveness. Can't even mention certain people's names around them. Don't even tell them. Don't. They wouldn't come to a meeting like this if they think it's in too short a crowd, you know, too small a crowd, and they might be in the same room. So evidence. Is there any evidence of infestation in the temple? Evidence of previous infestations. Procrastination. Under procrastination, my inspector has on my report, WCS, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Procrastination. I was going to get to that. I guess I could do that. I know I should do that. Indecision, finding double-mindedness. Finding double, previous evidence of double-mindedness. You believed for something one time, and you just got been tossed to and fro. See, we're going inside. Because all on the outside, I can ask you, how are you doing? Fine. Inside you're going, I'm feeling lousy, but I'm a believer, and I guess I shouldn't make a bad confession. Well, the inside of you knows what's going on, too. And it'll steal your beauty. It'll steal your energy. It'll steal your creativity. Spiritual neglect. Lack of speaking the word, forget who they are, no apparent praise music present. No apparent, like how you used to listen, how you used to just feed on that. Evidence of previous infestation. Beware that our report is based on inspection of visible areas and that we cannot be responsible for infestation concealed by permanent decisions, feelings, or wall coverings, stored items, or layers of lying insulation. This report should not be viewed as a guarantee against any current or future infestation. No warranties are implied. Questions of structural soundness and evaluation of damage should be referred to by a qualified building inspector, which we are going before the Holy Ghost. So we know where our guarantee is at. And he can fix the house. Spiritual pests in their natural settings are attracted to the believer, especially the inward part of the believer. Therefore, any part of the believer that has been subject to former damage will attract these spiritual pests again. Infestation can be avoided by removing severely damaged areas. You can be on the lookout for these pests. Grudges, offenses, familiar spirits, depression, poverty, inferiority. You need to be on the lookout when you start having those little thoughts and adjustments. It's like some former pests are trying to come back in, and you can be on the lookout because they're attracted to the believer. They want to damage your ability to function and come out to your fullness. And they want you to even look and appear structurally okay on the inside, but they don't want you or anyone else to really know what's going on the inside. See, isn't it wonderful when you can live from the inside out, rather from the outside, and hoping no one ever really knows what you're like or what you're going through? It is possible for spiritual pests to not be visible at the time of our inspection due to their habit of concealment. I tell you, they scatter. They scatter, and they don't manifest. They put on this facade because even the devil, did you know how cunning he was? He always at least spoke the word. He pretended to know the word. He appeared. Even when he spoke in the garden or he spoke to Jesus in the wilderness, he always said things. Tell me something you said in the wilderness. Man should not live by bread alone. Okay, so he knew enough of the word to, and how did Jesus answer him? The word says. And so don't be surprised if spirits can be concealed and you'll think, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. But you're edgy. You're not as friendly. You're not as open. You don't enjoy things as much. Maybe you're still routine. You can still do the routine, but where is the enjoyment? Are you having any joy in what you're doing? The inspector, a fellow believer on this first one, and the PCO, the pest control officer, is a born-again believer today, Jody Cox. Page 2, or on the other side for you. I hear Pastor Mike does that in the mic too. We can get him in that new mic, guys. We'll believe for it. Okay. The following comments marked X apply to this inspection. There is no access for entry and inspection of the inner man. Jesus will come and stand at the door and knock sometimes, but we have to answer. We have to answer. See, in the Jewish custom, they didn't have doorknobs on the outside of their doors. They were on the inside. So when you went to bed, you can lock up your house. You were closing up. You were locking the house. Nobody got into your entries unless you let them in. And so even with the woman in Song of Solomon, when he came and he knocked for her to come, she yells back to him, "Oh, I've cleaned my feet," because they dirt floors and go, you know, "I've cleaned my feet. I've gotten into bed. Could you come later?" So he departed. Sometimes we tell God, you know, "Do I have to pray now? You know, I've bathed the kids. I've done the dishes. I've folded the laundry. I've just gone to bed. Jody, can you pray? Somebody in Australia needs you now." You know, "Oh, Lord." See, he's not going to enter in and make us do anything. So we have to have, it says, there is no access for entry and inspection of the inner man. You invite him in to inspect you. He knows what's going on all the time. But for you to get the benefit, the aardvark man would love to come in and inspect my house, but I have to give him entrance. He said, "Hey, are you going to let me check your house out now for your," because I got his little paper here. There's not sufficient clearance to inspect all parts of the inner man. There's not sufficient clearance. Because sometimes we'll let God have parts of our life, but only certain parts. Like, how about your past? How about, you know, that situation that he wants to take you through? So this is something for you later, just to say, you know, "Lord, let's go through an inspection here." The next one. There is false excuses attached to the mind and heart preventing complete inspection. False excuses. What are some of our false excuses? "You don't understand. You just don't understand what God, you just don't understand what I've been through." Or like I said before, "I'm a private person, God." Like you're private to God, right? But you know, when God doesn't play games. What's some of your false excuses? Tell me some of them. I need more material up here. Anybody got a false excuse they use with God? "Too busy. Lord, I'm just too busy." False excuse attached to the mind and heart preventing complete inspection. "Lord, I just don't, you know, I just don't really want, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed." Those are excuses, because he said he took our shame, he bore our shame and carried our sorrow. "It's too painful for me to go there, Lord. I don't want you to go there. Please just leave that area alone, God. I've put it behind me. It's all over." But yet your life isn't producing like it's all over. Well, you can keep your own. Maybe you can tell them to me in secret. The next one. There are former attitudes attached to the outer character traits of the obviously infected areas. Former attitudes. When they he or she did something to me, they never said they were sorry. That's an attitude, like, you know, God said, God will push that button and say, like this one girl in my life, her name was Janine, and she said, and she was our assistant pastor's wife, and she just totally tried to rip my life up. And she would sit beside me every week. And so, you know, all during prayer, you know, we'd all be up there on the front row. And God said, "Well, I want you to forgive Janine." "Okay, Lord, I forgive Janine." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "No, I want you to start saying what she did to you and then say, I forgive Janine for abandoning me. I forgive her for lying about me. I forgive her for," oh, that was not a fun experience. But just mimicking or the words, mocking the words, or just giving God a quick, I mean, like your kids, you know, you don't want them just to give you a quick answer to, like, "How are you doing in school?" "Fine." Whoosh, out the door. "No, come on, we need to talk. How's math going now?" "Oh, you're going to bring up math?" You know. So with God, so that was an attitude, a former attitude attached to the outer character trait of the obvious infected area. It began to change my character. I began to come into dreading coming into church. I began to start putting her down other places we were. I began to try to bring up something that I would catch her doing to balance out what was happening. It changed who I was. And God didn't want that. So he started working on me, and he would tell me, there are former attitudes attached to the outer character traits of the obviously infected area. And then, I realized? My father had abandoned me. You know, my dad had abandoned me. My mother had abused me and lied about me. And so Janine was just I went all the way back. I wasn't just concurrent with her. I was like, I'm not being treated like this all my life. So I had really not gotten over the past so I could even deal with the present. Next one. There are permanent and attached walls preventing complete inspection of the obviously infected areas. And so, permanent attached walls. Here's a permanent attached walls that I had. It'll be a cold day in hell before I go to my father and tell him it was okay for what he did. You know, it's not my personality to get over things easily. That wasn't mine, but I've heard that before. Those are areas that are attached to us where we end up saying, it's not my personality to get over things easy. Nobody tells me what to do. See, if you find yourself having to be rough, tough, and strong-willed, instead of compassionate and open, and you've probably been, even if, I'll use Tracy for an example, even if I came up and messed with her and Chris's and the team's prepared program, if I did that and she responded negatively to me, I wouldn't take it that she was responding negatively to me totally. I would have felt when something like that happens in our life, someone else or something else had maybe not respected her time, not really valued what she put into it, not really like, well, why now can you change everything we're doing? What, you know, like an importance problem may have been attached to it or something like that. You see what I'm saying? So don't always think it's about you. Like when people, you know, when you get into a situation at work or church or in your families and all of a sudden somebody like sniffs at you or you're going, whoa, I mean, didn't seem to be that bad of a thing. They're probably reliving a moment or they don't even know they're reliving a moment, but they protected themselves in certain ways that when it changes on them unbeknownst and they don't have time to rapid mental adjustment. See, with Christians, we have to have rapid mental adjustment because things are changing all the time. God does not change, but he changes everything. I mean, God is God, and he is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he changes the seasons. He changes all kinds of things. He changes science. He gives new inventions. So you have to be rapidly mentally ready to go with the flow of God, because otherwise you will have a remembrance of things aren't going to go well unless you control them. You will really believe that. And it's the farthest thing from the truth, because with Martha and Mary, they were going to eat. She had just heard and been in the meeting where he fed 5,000. That was just the men sitting in groups. That wasn't even all their families with this little kid's food that he brought. Thank God for mothers to send their kids prepared. Amen. But what's so neat about that, how did Jesus distribute that food? What did he do first? He took it and he blessed it. And then he
broke it
and multiplied it. Sometimes we want to skip steps. We're somebody's lunch, guys. We're going to be in somebody's hands. You know what I'm saying? We're going to put ourselves in God's hands for somebody else to be blessed. But first he's going to bless you before he has to break you and you feel like, I can't go any more ways. He blessed it, he broke it, and he distributed, and he multiplied it to a fact that the kid went home with more than he came. Can you imagine the surprised mother? She probably didn't go to the meeting because there was only enough for one lunch. You know what I'm saying? Or she had so many other kids. But the fact of it is, he's not going to leave you empty-handed, but you might be broken in some areas to be able to be a blessing. But he'll bless you first. He'll prepare you for the breaking. I have been broken so many times. I am not kidding you. Growing up in that dysfunctional family with a alcoholic father, when my brother died, my mother went into a mental just breakdown state and everything like that. And I tell you, my father used to set me in a chair about where you are in that red blouse. He would sit in his chair across from us, and he would drink beer, and then he would throw cans at us, throw these empty cans at us. So it's humiliating. It's and you can't get up because you're afraid for your life. And so I learned in my mind to battle. Like, bless God. I would say enough things, you know what I'm saying? And so I had a hard time working with people. Why did you make me a pastor's wife in front of everybody? I would get, you know, this one time I got this letter with a check in the mail. Your slip was not long enough for your dress, and you need to dress properly if you're going to be, you know. I kept the check, but I never bought the slip. But, you know, it was like you just want to protect yourself. You don't want to be hurt anymore. And then another worst part happens. I would always sometimes even take more abuse, but, oh, you try to mess with Elizabeth. I am going to beat you up. You know, it's like it was the injustice of people picking on other people that couldn't defend themselves. I was like a crusader. And Jerry used to say, I'm not your dad, I'm not your dad, because I'd say, you're not going to treat me like that. And he'd say, I don't even know what I did now. It was like freeze tag at our house. I don't know what I did, but it has something to do with your dad, doesn't it? You know? And it took us work to be married 44 years because of my I didn't know you could do an inspection. I was afraid for anybody to inspect me, especially God. I wanted to be good to somebody. You know, I was like, if God knows how bad I am, then I'm not good to nobody, and now I've lost another dad. So sometimes we go through some things, don't we? Under those obvious infected areas, I don't need friends. I don't need friends. People who say they don't need friends are hurting. They are hurting. They'll even say to you, I'm not hurt. What are you talking about? You know, you can look in someone's eyes and just say, you know, I see you're hurting. I don't know what you see, but I'm not hurting. Well, okay, it's real obvious. Now you're not hurting. And it doesn't mean, it just means like, people that aren't really hurting just say, really? I don't know it. You know, because you're going, I don't think I'm hurting. But if you really are thinking you're pulling it off, you know, you're disguising yourself, you're making it through, you're doing good. But some of these things are hidden within us, and God wants to go in there and move some of the debris. Oh, the next one. Stored items hinder complete inspection of the heart. I'll never forget what they did to me. Someday you'll see how it feels. See, sometimes stored items hinder complete inspection of the heart. Our heart is a funny thing because it says hope deferred. Makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So you'd rather not nobody get to your heart and hang on to false hope than have no hope. That's why I have women in counseling that a lot of times say to me, being married and being abused is better than being alone. You know? And it's been proven because there's a story that tells about this lion they put in the cage, and they kept him in the cage, and they fed him, and they took care of him, provided a cage, provided food, hosed him down once in a while. X amount of time later, they opened the cage. They tried to coax him out. They'd gotten him. He was wounded, and they were doing it. He wouldn't come out of the cage. A free, beautiful animal wouldn't come out of the cage. You get used to being caged into some situations. That's why the Genesis ladies got new days. Amen. New days. They ain't in the cage no more. Amen? And you know what? But there'll be a day. Genesis can't be your life. Genesis is your beginning of your life. You know, our Genesis in the Bible is beginnings. It isn't beginning, singular. Beginnings, it says. The beginnings of. And God starts telling you all the beginnings of everything. He created the world. All these were beginnings that last all the way to the omega, till the finished work. But he has so many new beginnings. God is not a God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. Amen. People say, well, God's a God of a second chance. Well, when you're on your fifth, what does that do you? Any good? So you want to know God is a God of another chance. Amen. Lack of commitment prevented complete inspection of the unusual damage areas. I just like being free. You know, lack of commitment. I just like being free. I don't want to tell you where I'll be. I don't want to tell you if I'm going to do that. Lack of commitment prevents complete inspections of unusual damage areas. Here's some of the things that people will say. Hey, I'll see you there Wednesday night. Oh, yeah, you know, you'll say to somebody, hey, Brenda, I'll see you there Wednesday night. She goes, oh, yeah, Wednesday night. Now, what time did that start? 7 o'clock. Going to see you? Yeah, I'll be there. See, but they don't want to commit. And then they'll say to you something like, well, I hope it works out. I really want to come. See, because committing to your word helps stabilize you. So you don't want to commit to everything, do you? Because you'll break down. But commit to your word. So if you have 4 or 5 opportunities, and you've, like I have people saying this to me at church all the time, they'll commit to me for this women's meeting. I don't mean even to come to it, to help me with it. Well, 3 other opportunities come along their way, you know, for other things to do, they'll commit to that. How do they think they're going to do it? You know, they forget they commit. They want to commit to more things because they want people to like them. They think it's really nice when people ask them things. And then life changes. But if life changes, commit to your word to call the person and say, I know I committed to you. Would there be any way you could release me from that? This opportunity came up. But if it isn't, I will complete my commitment. What it'll do, it'll build character in you. See, the gifts of the Spirit can be used without you. I mean, God will use you in them, but you don't have to prepare for them even. You were born to be used by God as his creation and hands in the earth. So he can use a gift, like he could use your gift or your gift or your gift at any given moment that he wanted to. As a matter of fact, sometimes when people are down here, you would be a blessing to take a couple steps down and even pray a song over them or sing a song over them, because it would you and Charity, when you were singing, I got healed from something from years ago, from a car wreck. That's why I stayed over there. I wanted to make sure it was real. I got healed. I had a close head car wreck. Someone back into me at 65 miles an hour, and I was stopped to turn left. And I had to go through, I had to learn to read, write again, everything, with this closed head injury. So sometimes when I hesitate, I'm searching my ways. But over there, one of the injuries I had in this part of my back left. Yeah, that was a very good thing. Very nice thing. So, here's a lack of commitment. Where does it say I have to ask your permission to do anything? Lack of commitment, you know, to your pastor, even husbands, wives, anything like that. There's an attitude in the earth today. It's like, who are you? Why do I have to ask you anything? Well, I'm telling you, it seemed like when I was growing up, honestly, even as dysfunctional as it was, you had to ask your grandparents, you had to ask your, you know, you had to go ask. Even the neighbor kids' parents told you what to do. I mean, you know, the neighbor kids would say, oh, you kids get off there, and you get off there now. You do it today, I'm over in your face. Don't you be telling my kids what to do. Who do you think you are? You got problems with your own kids. But we didn't used to do that growing up, I'm telling you. But it's an attitude, and it's also this lack of commitment preventing the usual thing. People are like, are you going to take my kids away from me? Are you going to report me for something bad? I mean, it's a new day. Everything's legal. Have you noticed? Everybody wants to be legal, you know? We did something at our church. Oh, we had a concert, a rock concert at Kmart parking lot. Kmart let us use their parking lot for Rick Kua. And we had this big, huge, wonderful concert. And they said, oh, you have to take out $1.5 million policy. I said, wasn't Kmart's parking lot already... what do you call it? Insured? They go, oh, it is, but because they said they came to your event and you advertised it, you have to pay too. Everything's legal. It's crazy. So sometimes lack of commitment is because we don't want anything legal to come upon us too. We don't want anybody to be mad at us, but it will build character. The gifts can be used by God, but the fruit are developed in you through God and by God. He who began a good work in you shall perform it, but he labors with you to do it. You have to stay attached to develop fruit. And fruit shows your character, and character shows God's person. The gift shows God's power. The fruit shows God's person. So we would not only want to show his power. I mean, I know a lot of hot, fiery, anointed, powerful ministers of God that have been in my house. And everybody else in the service thought they were a knight in shining armor, but they're a jerk in a tin can when you get to know them personally. They tell you what to do. They leave you with big phone bills. They are rude. This one guy says to me, "I'm not eating that." It was a tomato, on the plate with some. "I'm not eating that." And I said, "Pardon me? I'm taking care of this handicapped child challenge shop." He said, "I don't eat tomatoes that aren't peeled." So I just went over. Remember my dad? I have some rapid mental adjustments still happening in my life. I went over and I took the tomato off his plate, and I said, "So you say you don't want to eat this?" And he was like, I touched his plate. "Just leave it, or I'll peel it for you." And he said, he went into a fit. He wouldn't eat at my house. He stayed in his room or whatever. But, and then he said to me the other night, so I let the first one go. He said, "There's not enough sugar in this tea. And the sugar bowl is here, and he's sitting here." And he wanted me to put sugar in his tea. Jerk in a tin can. Knight in shining armor on the pulpit. Love his ministry. Keep him at a hotel. We don't want to be that way. We want to be the character of God with the power of God. We don't want the power of God with no character. And we don't want character and no power. We want the character of God flowing in the power. That comes through inspection. That comes from, you'll get rejuvenated and go on. I believe our company can help restore and renew your personal property. Terms are not necessary because the price has been paid. We have a full staff on 24 hours a day. Just call 1-777-PRAYER. This is a direct line, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've been waiting for your call. And we have powerful products that will get rid of the pest. And they do no harm to your structure. We shine the light of the truth, which exposes the pest. We sprinkle the blood of Jesus, which brings back the life to every part that was damaged. We use the sound method of praise and worship to bring down the walls that the pest built. Last, we coat everything with the seal of the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Then we offer free lifetime inspections upon request. You will receive your paid in full statement in your Bible. So, ladies, what Pastor wants you to be able to do, Pastor Brenda wants you to do, is to be able to come into that place. She doesn't want to examine you. She doesn't have the right to examine you. Judgment belongs to God. We observe people to try to see if we can touch and help them, but you can judge no man. Just get it straight. You have no right to judge whether somebody deserves the second chance or the 19th chance. Secondly, you can't fix anybody. You can't fix anybody, folks. Stop the madness. You can't fix them. If you could, you would be their God. That means you'd have to supply their praise. "Oh, I praise you, you're wonderful." You would always have to be, all the things that God does for us, he tells us we're wonderful all the time. He encourages and does all these things for us. So you cannot judge another man's heart. You can observe behavior to see if you need to pray, see if you need to offer advice or counsel, see if you can, give them some words, see if you can intercede and fast and pray for a door of utterance. No judgment. Just observation. Secondly, no fixing. No fixing. We're not fixer-uppers. Do you really want someone just to modify their behavior for you so that you'll like them? No, we want transformation, not modification. We want transformation. God says that we're transformed from glory to glory. So many Christians are modified. They're not transformed. They're modified to the situation, to fit in, to be loved, to be accepted, not because they're frauds, they're tired, and they're hurting, and they want to fit in. And if we just say, God's transforming them. When you see something, don't say, oh, my God, I knew they were a fake. You just say, oh, God, they're hurting. I just believe you're transforming them. The third thing that's important, no judgment, no fixing, because we want transformation, not modification. The third thing says you can't change anybody. If I love them enough. If I do something every time they call, you know, if I'm there every time they need something, I'll really show them the love of God and I can change how they think about Christians. No, you can't. It's a 10-to-1 ratio. You do 10 things right, one thing wrong, you're out.
That's right.
No, I knew you wouldn't. I knew you weren't Christians. I knew you couldn't do this or that. It's because God doesn't want us to be the one that's doing His work. So get it. The sooner you get it, the better. Because what you can say is, ask that person that needs you all the time, when's the last time they helped somebody? That's what will take them to the transformation, right? Just say, well, who you been talking to? Who you been encouraging this week? Just say, you know, you're not going to get to where you're going by continuing for me to feed you. I need to teach you to fish. Come with me and I'll show you how to minister. I take some of my hard case, depressed women, nasty spirited things that just wait for me to make a mistake. I'll say, well, I want to take you to lunch. They say, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Pastor. I'm going to lunch with Pastor. Tell 20 other people they think that might be hurt because I'm going to take them and not them. And I'll take them to the jail service with me and then take them to lunch afterwards. Let them sit. And then I'll tell them, well, while we're in here, I want you to give your testimony about what God's doing for you. Well, I said, well, you better be thinking because, you know, you'll have your turn. Oh, we'll have a great lunch, though. Yeah. And I said, make sure you tell your friends what we're going to do when we go to lunch. See, because I want them to know, unless you start, I don't know about Texas, but in Michigan, a lake that doesn't move gets, and it stinks. It gets all green, all icky, nasty. You know, so we don't want them to be all bound up. We want them to start flowing. And so the water that moves is the healthy water. You see what I'm saying?